I think we as children, when we were children, and you children all like pets. You like dogs, cats, whatever. Turkeys might be a pet. But just supposing you had a lamb for a pet. That seem okay to have a lamb for a pet? A beautiful little lamb. Just as white and pure as can be. And clean and no disease, and it's just healthy, and it wants to come up to you and be petted and so forth. Can you imagine a lamb like that? Just come up, be friends with it. And Dad says, you like it so well that let's bring it in the house. And we have it in the house for 4 days. It's in this nice little box, and it's in the house for 4 days. And you just learn to really like this pet lamb. And then on the fourth day, Dad says, we're going to kill him. And in the evening, he takes out a sharp knife and cuts his neck. And he bleeds right in front of you. And he's dead. And your dad takes that blood and he puts it over the sides of the door and over the top. And you say, why are you doing that? Well, that's the message this morning. Turn with me to John 1:29. St. John 1:29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. That is why the Bible is a story about a lamb. Children, if you like lambs, if you can get to have a pet lamb, the Bible is the story about a lamb from the start to the finish. It's the Lamb of God. It's the story of the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But I want you to keep this image of a dead lamb in your house with its blood over the doorpost. And it does something special. It takes away the sins, the mistakes of the people living in the house. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. As I was thinking about this message this morning, about what it means that the blood of the Lamb takes away sin, I think all of us can relate to sin. I know you can. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen? That's the way we all are. And we're in bondage to sin, the Bible says. And so when we're in bondage, we need to be redeemed from sin. And then we can experience true freedom and liberty, as it talks about in the Bible. Behold the Lamb of God. I believe to John's, the ones that were listening to John, the Lamb of God was something that they could relate to. The Lamb was, they had throughout Old Testament history, approximately 4,000 years of history, they had heard about the Lamb various places. They heard about their foreparents, Cain and Abel. Those two brothers, you know, that they went out in the field and Cain rose up and slew Abel. And why was that? Why did Cain slay Abel? Well, the reason was, is Abel offered a sacrifice that was of the first things of the flock. A lamb, right? And Cain offered of the fruit of the field. God had taught them, there's some things that are not in Scripture, but I'm sure that Cain knew that he was to bring up the firstlings of the flock. It wasn't to be the firstlings of the first of the fruit of the field. He brought of the firstlings of the flock. And from that experience until the end, the last chapter in Revelation, there is the implied presence of a lamb. And we're going to look at, as we go through the scriptures this morning, and I'm sorry that we can't take the time and touch on all the principles and all the illustrations that we could. But I would just like you children to remember this, that you had a pet lamb. Just imagine you had a pet lamb and it was really special to you. You liked it. It was in a nice little box. And Dad came along and sliced its neck open in one swift slash of a knife. And the blood came out on the floor, or in the basin rather, in a bucket kind of. And then he took and spread it on the doorposts for a reason. First of all, I'd like to notice one thing about this verse. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away what? Say it loud and clear. Sin or sins? Takes away the sin of the world. The problem of sin was being taken away right now. Because it wasn't sins. Like it wasn't my anger and it was, but it was the problem of sin in the race. And I think that that's very important that we understand that it is the sin of the world rather than the sins of the world. The children of Israel could understand this from 4,000 years of prophecy. They, throughout their history, they would take a lamb, and it would be sacrificed. They would take another lamb, and it would be sacrificed. Both morning and evening, be sacrificed. And I just had to wonder how they must have had a huge farm. They must have had huge farms, and there must have been sheep all over the place because they had to kill a lamb. 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 And so it was something that they could understand when John said this, behold the Lamb of God. They at least had a grasp on what a lamb does and what a lamb will do, that the lamb was used for sacrifice. But dear ones, today for us, the bondage of sin is being taken away. And dear ones, this morning, and that more importantly than anything else, it is possible to live without sin on November, what is this, November 5 or 7, something like that? November 7, 2021. It is possible. Praise God. Let's say praise God together. Praise God. It's a wonderful thing that we can live without sin. There is to be freedom in Jesus Christ. And the ravages and the shackles and the bondage of sin is released. I just heard about a nephew of mine this morning that gave his heart to the Lord yesterday, or I think it was Friday night. And his shackles were unloosened, and he is now free in Jesus Christ. Dear ones, we have a wonderful privilege. We're free. We have liberty. We're free. And we can look forward to going to heaven because we are free. Furthermore, we can live in liberty today. We can live in freedom today. Without a guilty conscience. How many of you value that? Conscience free from condemnation. The New Testament, Romans, Galatians, Revelations, Ephesians, it all says that we can be free. The lamb was a common animal. It was part of the common culture of Israel. It was lambs all over the place. And a lamb was symbolic of purity, sinlessness, and innocence. The lamb didn't do anything. That lamb that you had in your house with you in that nice box, and your dad killed it. He didn't do anything to deserve death. He was purely innocent. He was without sin, without condemnation, without dirt. Dear ones, the Lamb of God that takes away your sin, my sin, and the sin of anyone you might know, is the Lamb of God. John also says in 1 John, and ye know that he was manifested to take away the sins of the world. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. A couple verses down, he says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. That makes it manifest if you're born again this morning, if you're experiencing the true value of the love of God. The Lamb of God that takes away. Well, what does God do with our sin that he takes away? What does God do with our sin that he takes away? Number one, he forgives them. He just says, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. Upon the basis of the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The question is, how do we appropriate this Lamb of God and his work and his blood? Well, we appropriate it. We find the strength in this We find the vitality in the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world as we capture and believe the principles of the Word of God. It's simply that we have faith that the Word of God is true and that we are willing to follow it. He forgives them. He also removes the sin as far as the east is from the west. You know, how far is that? How far is the east from the west? We go to the vanishing point in the east, and we go to the vanishing point in the west. We can't see it anymore. That's how far he removes our sins. He washes away our sins, the Bible says. He takes water and cleanses us from sin, and they're gone. You cannot find them anymore. He remembers our sins no more. Did you ever think about, you know, I'll bet that person remembers that stupid thing I did. Right? That happens. I think about it all the time. I'll bet you that person remembers that embarrassing thing I did. Well, God takes away your sins and He remembers them no more. He remembers our sins no more. He casts them into the depth of the sea. He like ties a big stone around them. And He drops them into the sea, and they're gone. They sink down, 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 and they're gone. Yesterday I was coming up 96, and there was a New York State trooper traveling in front of me, and suddenly he turned on his lights, and he stopped the car in front of them. I suppose that person that was driving that car had to pay a fine. I would guess that's probably what he had to do. The person that was driving that car had a judgment of the law against her. I think it was a lady. I'm not making fun of lady drivers, but I think it was a lady. She was under condemnation. We are under condemnation in sin. And Jesus, as the Lamb of God, is able to blot out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Somewhere in that policeman's car, there was a computer that was writing up a ticket or a fine or arrest them in some way. That was writing that up, and it went into the New York State system, I'm sure of it. And it was an offense against the state of New York. And I believe that lady would have been glad to have that taken away. It's a whole lot bigger than a traffic ticket, dear ones. It's your sin that is taken away, that will condemn you and take you to hell. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Blots it out. Deletes it off the computer. Gone. And the FBI can't even get it. Or the CIA. Gone. I want to talk just a little bit about bondage this morning. I want to talk about redemption. I want to talk about freedom. This morning, if you're one of the hostages in Haiti, You're in bondage. You can imagine being in bondage in Haiti. Men with AK-47s walking around you. You are very closely watched so you don't run off. Maybe you're even in a basement or a cave or a hole in the ground or wherever you are. You know what it is to be in bondage. If you're a Christian in Afghanistan this morning, you would understand the meaning of bondage. Having church out in the desert some way, away from authorities, away from the Taliban, hiding in bondage. You know what? You all and me have been in bondage to a much greater thing than being in bondage in Haiti or Afghanistan. The bondage of sin. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. Every one of you. Sensniks and Weavers and Nolts and Bergies, that's all you. You're all under sin. In the bondage, you have experienced that. There never was a greater pandemic. It affects 100% of the population, and we have a pandemic now that we think is a big deal. And it doesn't affect but 1 or 2%, something like that. There never was a greater catastrophe. There never was a greater hostage crisis. We are, as a race, are in the bondage of condemnation. And therefore, we fear death. We're in the bondage of fearing death. We fear death, don't we? In fact, think about dying now. Are you fearful? Hebrews says that the Lamb of God, that through His death, He might destroy the one that had the power of death. Destroyed, gone. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The bondage of sin is real. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. In fact, we're in bondage in thinking, in thoughts, as a race. We're in bondage of the control, the tyranny of the flesh. We do what we want to. We're in the bondage of corruption. We know that if we go without applying the blood of the Lamb, we're going to die. Dear ones, Bondage is so real. And we need to understand bondage to understand the bondage of sin, to understand this great principle of the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Secondly, I want to look at redemption. Redemption. Hebrews says that in almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no forgiveness. That lamb that gave his blood supplied the blood that sets us free. There must be blood. It's death. We are guilty and we are condemned to die. Ezekiel said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But praise God. Leviticus says, the blood makes atonement for the soul. We are unredeemable. We are condemned to die. Dear ones, redemption comes from blood. Let's go. I think I'll just go back to Exodus. I'll just tell you, you know, the story of the Israelites. You remember the Egyptians' bondage? And it said that the Israelites were down there and they were making bricks. And it was their lives were bitter with hard bondage. They had to make mortar and brick. And it was hard. And the children of Israel sighed by reason of their bondage. And their cry came up to God by reason of their bondage. And we know the story how Moses went to Pharaoh and said, let us go. He said, I won't let you go. What do you think? I'm not letting you go. He said, okay, Moses said, okay then, take this. Darkness, flies, lice. And it went on down through imagine lice. Imagine lice in your hair. Everybody had it. And of course we know the story that Pharaoh said, he got to the point where he said, yeah, I'll let you go, but then he would always go back on his word. And finally, God said to Moses, here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to do, and this is going to fix Pharaoh. This will take care of him. He said, every one of you, take this lamb into your, have a perfect lamb, and take it into your house. Keep him there for 4 days. Make sure he's perfect. Your lamb shall be without blemish. And on the 14th day of the month, take him in on the 10th and on the 14th day of the month. And the whole congregation, the whole assembly of Israel, is going to kill this lamb at even. And they're going to take this lamb and you are to put the blood on the doorposts. And I'm going to send the angel of death down through Egypt. And where the angel sees the blood, precious words, He will pass over you. Is the blood on your doorpost this morning? That angel of death indeed did come. And it says the firstborn of the land of Egypt was slain that night wherever there wasn't blood over the doorposts. All the animals, the firstborn. All the slaves, the firstborn. And even in the house of Pharaoh, the firstborn was slain. And they called that the Passover. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Yes, the songwriter says, yes, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. We know the story that Pharaoh left the children of Israel go. And there's that whole story. But you know, the interesting thing is that the Passover was held throughout the generations of Israel. Year after year after year after year, they had the Feast of the Passover. Feast of the Passover, where they shed the blood of the lamb. And then when Jesus, the Lamb of God, he went to the, it was at the Passover. It was at the Passover. John 13:1 says, Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end. I ask you the question, do you think it was just happened so that the Passover, that Jesus died at Passover? The Passover was orchestrated by God so that it would end up and Jesus would be the final Passover. A beautiful thing. Jesus died at Passover time. And the Apostle Paul says, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away our sins and the sin of the world. We are redeemed with precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, who is manifest in these last times for you. Isaiah said in prophetic form, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And you know what? There was an Ethiopian man one day that was riding in his chariot, and he was reading this book of Isaiah. And he cried out and he saw this sheep as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb before his shears was dumb, so he opened not his mouth. And he was convicted. And he said, some man must help me. And then Philip had that dramatic experience of going over to help the Ethiopian man. The Lamb of God takes away sin for Ethiopians and also New Yorkers. I'd like to talk about freedom just a little bit. Galatians says, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Romans says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." For the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. We're free from the urges of the flesh. We are free from my mind that is controlled by the flesh. Let's go to Revelation 5. I invite you to turn with me there. Start reading in verse 2. "And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, not any one of us, or any president, President Biden or President Trump, or Nero or anybody else, no man in heaven nor earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, and to loose the seven seals thereof." That's the gospel. "And I beheld in the midst of the throne and the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." Dear ones, the Spirit of God is present today because the Lamb of God takes away your sin. Are you enjoying the presence of the Spirit? The presence of the Spirit of God controlling your life.